From Malvern Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the international radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This edition of the program comes to you from the Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. During the next several programs, Dr. Mark Allison, minister of the Malvern Church, will be bringing a special series of messages. Here to introduce the series is Dr. Allison.
This is Mark Allison. I'd like to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We have begun a study in Let the Bible Speak concerning the way of interpreting Scripture. Much of what we have been dealing with over these past months has centered on the fact that a man has been teaching contrary to the Word of God, even though he has been using the Word of God in his teachings. And there have been those who have written to us and called us saying, how do I interpret the Scripture? I've been listening to this man for 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, and now I'm finding out that he was wrong. He set a date for Christ coming. Christ did not come. And now I don't know how to approach the Bible itself in my study. And so I want to help those who are in such a predicament with the rules of interpretation that oftentimes you will find in Orthodox studies dealing with the problem of interpreting the Scripture according to the Scripture, according to the leading and guiding of God's Spirit. Now, someone might ask, why do we need such rules of hermeneutics? Well, one man put down these two reasons, and I think that while it may not be an exhaustive list of rules, that certainly these suggest why we would need to study hermeneutics. The first is that sin darkened the understanding of man, and it still exercised a pernicious influence on his conscious mental state. Sin has darkened the understanding of man, and it still exercises a pernicious influence on his conscious mental state or mental life. You can see this in Louis Burkhoff's book on hermeneutics. And so one reason why we study the rules of interpretation is because a man is still darkened, and even a believer still has darkness within him. A second reason is that men differ from one another in many ways that naturally cause them to drift apart mentally. Men come from different backgrounds. They come from different cultures. They come from different parts of the world. Their experiences are different. And when they have these different experiences, they bring that to their study of God's Word. And oftentimes they read into God's Word things that should not be read into the Word. And they are guilty of reading into the Word rather than reading out of the Word the message of the Word of God. Now, we need then to study what are some of the rules, what are some of the methods of studying the Word of God that are valid, and what are the ones that are invalid. We said yesterday that when we approach this book, we have to approach it as a unique book, a book written by God. We noted in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, it is God-breathed. Today, I want us to look at a passage, this time from another apostle, and that is the Apostle Peter, and see what he says about the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes this in verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This passage of Scripture tells us something very similar to that of the Apostle Paul, and that is that the Word of God came from God. Here it's very clear that the Word of God was given by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We find in verse 21 that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Any principle of interpretation, any rule that you devise that is going to govern the way that you view this book, must first start with answering this question: is this book given by the Holy Spirit? That is it God-breathed? Is it the Word of God, or is it not? When we come to this book and we understand it to be a book written by God, that itself sets the book apart. We are not here to add to the Word of God, but instead we're to come to the Word of God and let it speak to our hearts and govern our life. The first thing we can say from this passage of Scripture is that the Bible is given by the Holy Spirit. It says here that holy men of God spake as they were moved, literally as they were borne along. This word is used at times for a ship that's being borne along by the waves. Here were men, and they were being carried, as it were, about by the moving of God's Spirit. Now, would you note, secondly, that this Bible was given not only by the Holy Spirit, but by holy men who were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has chosen holy men to write Scripture. Now, there are many unholy men who are liars or immoral or thieves, men who would rob the people of God. And they have come to us and have told us that they believe that God has given them Scripture. But their lives are unholy. And we could mention a number of cult leaders whose lives were a scandal. They weren't even imperfect, merely. They were a scandal when it came to their own lives, their immorality and their stealing, their corruption and lying was known in the day in which they lived. Here we find that the Holy Spirit chose holy men to give the Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit empowered those holy men. This is a unique ministry. No man today has ever known this type of ministry. The ministry being spoken of here is something unique because once the Scripture was completed, it has ceased to exist among God's people. A man might know the infilling of God's Spirit when he preaches the Word of God, but that's not exactly the same thing as the Spirit coming upon a man and using him to write Scripture. David said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was on my tongue." Now, David spoke Scripture at times and wrote Scripture at times, and he wrote things that he didn't understand. In Psalm 22, he is there giving us the words of Christ on the cross. He is there talking about his hands and feet being pierced. He is there speaking of himself as if he were on the cross watching men gamble for his clothes, cast lots for his clothes. Here is David speaking of things that transcended his own understanding. And yet at the same time, God was speaking through him. The Holy Spirit chose holy men, and he empowered those holy men to do something that was unique, something that they had never done before, unless they had written Scripture. They had never had this experience apart from God's Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit used these holy men while at the same time retaining their personality, retaining their awareness of the experiences they had had. And so oftentimes the Holy Spirit is using the experience, for instance, of David in the Psalms. He's using the experience he had when he fled from Saul. He's using the experience that he had when he sinned and repented of his sin, and he's writing about that experience, yet at the same time, the Holy Spirit is controlling what is put on the paper so that it's only the words of the living God that are being put there. Same thing could be said of Paul as he gives us many of his experiences when he's writing his epistles, or even Peter here in this chapter, and he's talking about the fact that he was with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. These writings that were done by the Holy Spirit through holy men were writings, we can say thirdly, that were sure that they were better than anything man himself could write. You see, the Bible is given by the Holy Ghost according to this passage, and the Bible is given through holy men, but the Bible is better than the best of men in recording for us the facts of history as well as what we need to believe. You say, where does it say that? Well, we read here that in verse 19, Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what? Peter is speaking here about his eyewitness. As an eyewitness, he saw the transfiguration. He saw the glory of God shining through the humanity of Christ there on the mount. He heard the voice of the Father speaking, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then Peter goes on to say, but we have a more sure word of prophecy than even our eyewitness account. We have God's word on the record as to what happened there on the mount. We have a book that we need to pay attention to until we truly have the light of God shining up in our hearts and souls, until we know for certain that we have been saved through the instrumentality of this book, that we have been born again by His Spirit, and we've been born again through the Word. Peter says, this is not an ordinary book. This is a book written by the Holy Spirit. This is a book written by holy men. This is a book that is more sure than the eyewitness accounts of men, even those good men, even those apostles like himself. Now, if this book had error in it, it would not be a more sure word. It would be just like men's word, man's word. It would not be more sure than the apostles' eyewitness account. It would be less sure. It would be fallible. But Peter is claiming here to have a word that is inerrant. He's claiming to have a word written by God. He's claiming to have a word whereby the Holy Spirit was controlling the men who were writing it, to the point that this word is better than even what the best men could produce. I say all this to say that when you come to this book, the first thing you must realize when you begin to interpret this book is that this is not an ordinary book. This is a book written by the living God. And all of our rules of interpretation must flow from this first premise. That is, that this book was written by God. This book has no error in it. This book is profitable for our study. This book is more sure than even eyewitness accounts in all that it teaches us. If you don't start there, then you'll find with the false teachers that you'll be adding to the Word. You'll be wondering where the errors are in the Word and trying to subtract from the Word, or you'll be twisting the Word as many a false teacher does. Now, we're going to continue on in this study of hermeneutics, but it's possible that I've raised some issues today that are troubling you. Well, then write to us. Write us at malvernfpc@yahoo.com. That is malvernfpc@yahoo.com. Or get on the phone and call us at 610-993-3170.